Hey guys, we are starting this new series called Get in the Game, right? And it's all about getting out of the stands and getting onto the field. And first, I want to say, like, being in the stands is great. Like, have you ever been to a professional athletic event, a pro football game, a hockey game? Like, it's exciting to be in the stands. Like, even if you aren't super caught up in sports and you go, the energy and the crowds and the roar and the camera and all the stuff helps nurse the fact that you went broke getting in or trying to get a single drink. But it's fun and it's awesome. You're surrounded by fans cheering on the team. You're also evaluating, how much did it cost me to get this one drink? How much did it cost me to get in this door? How is the team doing? Are they performing up to standards? Are those cheerleaders even any good? Say the girls, like, you know, like, how's it all going? Oh, look at that little baseball big-headed guy running around. That's kind of funny. Like, we're in this constant evaluation of what we're taking in. And if we're really fans, then we're into how is that player performing? What is that doing? How that he's with his stats, not with his stats, with their stats, not with their stats. Like they're doing great, they're not doing great. So total confession. I grew up watching football with my granddad. Like I grew up with my grandparents. My grandfather worked at the State Department. My grandmother worked at DC General Hospital. Like they were Redskins fans. And I grew up, like when I was in elementary school and middle school and high school, I could tell you every player. You want to know how Riggins is doing, number 44, or Theismann, number 7, or even that kicker, Steve Cox, number 12. He was pretty good for a while. Like, I knew it all. I'm having to reach back and talk to people to get my analogies right, so just have grace for me. Because then I went in the military and went overseas for 3 years, and now I preach almost every Sunday, and, you know, anyway. But when you're a fan, you're committed. You know what's going on. You care. You're in it. And then the game's over. You go home. You wait in the traffic line. You hope not to get hit by a drunk driver. All those things happen, right? Unfortunately. You go back home, and something happens, and those fans that you cheered with, locked arms with, fist bump, chest bump, maybe cried with, depending on how important the game was or how bad the performance was or how good it was, all those things, they're gone, and yo-yo, you're on your own. And the crowds and the cheers and the camaraderie isn't there anymore. And so part of why this series, this next month that we spend unpacking this is so important is because our consumer culture has tried to teach us that the church should be somewhere where we go and consume. We are fans in the stands. We are watching. We are evaluating. By the way, I just got to say, worship was awesome this morning. I don't think anybody could fuss about worship this morning, and y'all aren't fussing people, but culture has taught us that we're going to church to see how'd the preacher do? How'd the worship team do? How did the kids ministry do? How did this do? How did that do? I don't like the carpet. I don't like the drums. I don't like this. I don't like that. Now, y'all, I got to give you an A+ on this because the sheer fact that we meet in a local community theater where we are still trying to get clearance to do the renovations that we plan to do because it's still an active theater, you have obviously not been willing to leave the church over the carpet or the lighting or the anything else. Like, you're in it. But I want to say that we still have to be aware of the number of people that leave the church over those issues or because they're not getting fed. I'm cashing in my season tickets because it's just not worth it anymore. And when we have that attitude, not we Bridge Church, when we as believers in the body of Christ have the attitude, well, I don't want to go there anymore because I'm not getting fed. We forget that making and serving the meal is part of our responsibility. And if we're not getting fed, then we have a hand in that. We have a part in that. Now, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not neglect meeting together. Do not neglect meeting together. Being here, it's important. Being on our online family, it's important. But the very meaning of meeting together is not attending, it's being part of. It's not being someone on the outside watching what takes place and taking what we can from it. It's being on the inside, doing, belonging, participating, working together, living together, doing life together. Because if we're going to be real honest, and thanks for our visitors, we're really glad you're here. I got a gift for you after service. Look forward to talking to you. But we keep it real here. So if we're keeping it real, Jesus didn't come and die to offer us a great Sunday experience. Jesus came and died so that we could be called sons and daughters, so that we could be co-laborers and co-heirs. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly, not that we would come and attend church, but that we would be the church. Amen, amen, church. Amen. And a little quiet in here. Pastor Rick would be making some noise if he wasn't up. He's in Cousin Derek's church. He's doing a good job right now, I'm sure. But if we're keeping it real and being honest, that's hard to do sometimes. On a good day, being part of the team, actually getting onto the field, can be uncomfortable. And on a bad day, it can be downright scary. And if you have church hurts, oh my, does it get so much worse. And so over this next month, we're going to talk through what it means for us as believers to get on the roster, to be part of the huddle, to have skin in the game, so to speak. And in case you weren't aware, over this next month and a couple weeks, we will celebrate 4 years as a church. Woohoo! We're also going to talk about what the game plan for this season is. Where have we been and where are we going? What's next? So that's a pretty big intro to a sermon series, but I want you guys to know that it matters. And this whole mindset of getting out of the stands and onto the field is so important because it is awesome to be part of a team. Can I tell you that Pastor Rick and I, between him being in the hospital for weeks, all the surgery, all the brokenness in our home, and then his dad dying, like if we weren't part of this team, if we didn't have a team around us, if you guys were all just spectators, we'd have closed the doors. Like, we could not have done it. We could barely function in our home with you guys delivering meals and doing all the stuff. But you know what? It wasn't just us that the family was taken care of. It was Chris and Felicia as she broke her foot. It was three other families in the church that had major things going on, and the family gathered round, stepped up on Sunday mornings into extra spaces and places where they wouldn't normally serve or more frequently than they would serve, serving by taking meals or giving rides or writing cards or all the things, phone calls, prayers. The prayer team, y'all, that prayer team on Thursday nights, they kept us going. And I don't mean us, Jen and Rick. I mean us as a church. So I want to invite you, if you have held back, if you have had some resistance to being fully in, then I really want to encourage you. I have prayed all week, last couple weeks, that the Holy Spirit would tender your heart, that you would actually be willing to open up and see what God has, because you don't have to get on the kingdom team. You get to get on the kingdom team, and it is life-changing. Amen. All right. So today, we're going to talk all about what it means to join the roster. And we're going to be in a passage that may be familiar to some of you. I have been prayerful that God would reveal his word is live, alive and active. It's a living word. So it's got something for us, even when it's a passage we're so familiar with. And if you're not familiar with it, awesome, then you get to be totally surprised today. One of the things we do here is read scripture together most of the time. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for our family online. We're going to be in chapter 12, verses 12 through, I think it's 26, but we're going to start in 12. And I'm going to invite you guys right now to read verses 12 to 14 with me. We're reading out of the NIV here, and I want to hear your big reading voices. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
Y'all, are we ready to get in the game? Come on. All right. All right. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. All right, so we are all part of the body. I think right here we see again that we weren't pursued by God to be a fan. We were pursued by God. He recruited us to the team to be a part. You know what's cool about when God recruits us into the family? He slides the Super Bowl ring on our fingers the minute he recruits us before the game has ever been played. We get the championship ring the minute we, like the signing bonus is the championship. It's the victory. It's the long haul eternity that we have. And nobody's a free agent anymore. You're not going to flip-flop teams. Like once God invites you in, he has invited all of us in. Once we say yes, oh. Like, we got the championship already won, and we haven't even stepped on the field. Y'all, thank you. Like, we're part of the winning team. The team won. You're part of the, you don't have to ever worry about a losing season. Some Washington fans better say, praise Jesus, hallelujah, because it has been too many decades. I thought about calling today draft day, but God already did that when he invited you in and you said yes. He recruited you. He designed you for the work you would have ahead. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get back to this. One Spirit to form one body. I want you to understand that you were supernaturally grafted into the team. That's what I meant when I said we're not free agents. Like once you say yes to Jesus, you are supernaturally bound, supernaturally grafted. Doesn't matter if you feel like you don't belong. Doesn't matter if somebody else tells you in some other church you didn't belong or you have church hurts. That's a church. The team is the kingdom. And you are supernaturally held in love and in connection in a way that is bonding, but it is not bondage. It is freedom. Amen? And we have to understand that we aren't in it alone. When Paul is writing and he says, just as a body has one part, sorry, let me try that all over again. I'm so excited, my eyes are getting behind my mouth. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. You don't ever have to be alone again. You don't ever have to go through trial and suffering and loss alone again because the body is here and you are supernaturally by the Holy Spirit grafted in to one. And so the first thing I want us to understand is that when we say yes to Jesus, we are a part of something bigger. We are no longer on our own. And for some of us, the biggest challenge today won't be the challenge to figure out if you're not serving where you can serve. The biggest challenge will be that you have put up so many barriers and so many walls because you've been through so much pain, that you're going to have to say yes to allowing yourself to be served. That being a part of the body means saying yes to someone else taking you and locking arms with you. Being your Aaron and her to hold up your arms when you are so tired of the battle. And that you no longer have to do that alone. And I know that might be scary. It used to be really scary for me. But I want to tell you that my family brings me so much joy. And that's what God has for you. You are part of something bigger. And together, together, God has so much for us to do and to be. And it's good. And y'all, don't you ever get sick of being alone? Introverts, watch it. Because we have a whole posse of introverts and they minister together really well from a distance. Oh my word. For those who are visiting or newer, Pastor Rick is the introvert, and I bet you'd never guess I was the extreme extrovert. So let's keep reading with 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read verses 15 to 20 together. Now that we understand we are part of something bigger, let's keep reading. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the body in every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Thank you all for catching that for me. Okay, if we're part of something bigger, according to this, we really need to come to terms with the fact that we actually belong. We belong. You, as you were created, as God wired you, as you have had life experience, as your tests become your testimonies, as all of that happens, your wiring, your creating, your giftedness, your experiences, your tests that have become testimonies, they are different from mine. They are different from Rick's. They are different from Mary's or Gina's or George's or any of them. And every one of them is required. You matter. The ear matters. The eye matters. The toe matters. All of it matters. And without any of it, something's missing. And look, as a largely military family church, so many of us are former or retired military or active now. We can all attest to the fact that, man, you can survive and have a full functioning life as an amputee, but there's not one amputee that would say, I don't want my arm back, or I don't want my leg back, or I don't want my hand back, because it's harder without that part. And I can compensate and I can overcome, but y'all, the church has too much to do for the kingdom to be compensating and overcoming, because missing pieces and parts are sitting, waiting, afraid to jump in because they feel like they don't belong, because somewhere somebody has made them feel like they don't belong, whether it's 20 years ago or 2 years ago or 2 months ago. And this passage says that God placed you. God placed you just as he wanted you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works he planned for us long ago. We are God's poema. That's where Poema House comes from, our sister church LifePoint with the Poema House movement. We are God's created masterpiece. It's where we get our English word from the Greek word poem, from poema. God intentionally created us with these gifts. He didn't just give you the Super Bowl ring when you said yes to the team. Before you ever got on the team, he gave you the star quality that he intended for you to use. He didn't make you wait till you said yes to be excellent at something or to have a passion for something or to be good at something. From the very beginning, he saw what roles he wanted you to do wherever you were, whether it was in the workplace or the church or the community or in your family. He saw what was going to be ahead of you, and he gifted you to do it. There are good works all over your life that you were designed by the same God who created the Grand Canyon and the Caribbean waters and Mount Everest. By the same God who paints the sunsets and makes the most interesting beings. That God took time to create you, to knit you together in your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are a lot of points I could have drawn out of this piece of text. But more important than why is there a missing hole where your ear belongs, where you belong, I think what God impressed upon me is that God uniquely created you on purpose, for purpose. There's some holes up here. We're going to talk about them later. The little blue people are where we need more people involved in a ministry. But God didn't create you to fill a hole. God created you to serve your purpose, to fulfill your purpose. And that is the difference, if we're being honest. Having that settled in our hearts, that's the difference between the kid who shows up at the soccer game because their parents insist they play a team sport, even though team sports are not their thing and they would rather be in a craft room or doing gymnastics or reading a book or whatever it is, but they have to, so they're sitting on the soccer field as a 7 or an 8 or, heaven forbid, a 10-year-old who's still being forced to go do the thing. That's filling a hole. Versus the kid who's like, yes, I love this. Let's go. This is so much fun. Let me help you. That's what it means to fulfill your purpose, to walk in your purpose, to walk in your gifting, to have fun with it and pull others in because of it. And that's what Jesus invites us to. That's what he designed us for. Uniquely created on purpose for purpose. Amen. I'm going to read this to you and let you take it in. Follow up on the screen. Verses 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable, pause, scripture, are not kicked to the curb. When things are rough and not looking so good, back to scripture, the parts that are unrepresentable are treated not with disdain, are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. When you got it together, you don't need special treatment. We pour into people who need a little extra, who need a little help, who need some more modesty, who need some more whatever, need us to provide them with a covering and a building. I know I jumped right out of scripture, no warning. Back to verse 24. while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part is honored with it. It's a lot of parts of the body. 200 plus bones, 900 ligaments, more than 4,000 tendons. And every part matters. Doing a little football research. Not maybe a fan of some of his later character. No, not maybe. There's no maybe about it. Guy had some problems later in his career, but Adrian Peterson was a tremendous running back. He's still, name is getting tossed around for the Hall of Fame, like all these things. Tremendous running back. And at the peak of his career, he had a long career, so he's got a couple injuries, but I mean like at the peak, at the height of his career, I think it was with the Vikings, he missed a large part of his season on the injured list, injured reserve. Do you know why? He didn't break a foot. He didn't tear his knee all up. That was later in his career. He didn't have some major injury. He had something called turf toe. The ligament in his big toe, not even his big toe, one of the ligaments in his big toe was messed up. There are over 900 ligaments in our body. This all-star, like he was an all-star so many times, this all-star running back was kept out of the game because a ligament in his toe was injured. That little teeny, forget the toe, the ligament mattered so much. If you think what you have to offer is too small and doesn't matter, I want to tell you it matters, because God has uniquely designed you for what you have to do, and it is vital. It is vital. You know what? John, who came up and prayed, did pastoral prayer for us today. He's not one of our ministerial students. He's not part of the lead team. He's not who we consider staff, paid or unpaid. But you know what? John prays. And he spends time in the Word, and he does not like that I am saying any of this right now because he does not like the limelight. I think I see him blushing from the back. But but when we ask him if he'll do pastoral prayer or closing prayer, there is not a doubt in our minds that he's going to have a word to bring, because God has uniquely created him, and that is so vital. There are moments and times over the last almost 4 years where John has come up to give pastoral prayer, and what he has heard in his quiet time and what he has shared before he prayed were so critical to something that he had no idea about. It matters. There are quieter parts of this body. Nikki and Kermit, Scott, Leonard, Jeremiah Nairn. They're quieter parts. They work behind the scenes. They're not out front. They're not big, loud extroverts like me. But if they weren't doing the things they do, this church would not be representing Jesus the way we've been called to represent Jesus. Elisa on that list. Several others of you. Something else. I want to say this, because we are unique as a church plant. We're still pretty much in our, we're out of infancy and into toddlers as we approach our fourth birthday. I know that's a little behind by a child's development, but in a church development, 4 years is really young for a church. And in all of that, when we planted from a small church, unfunded, not a huge group of people, in the beginning, Can I tell you, we all played all the positions, right? Like, well, not all. Let me say this. Pastor Rick and I were never on the worship team. Everybody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because you can be on multiple teams, but you still got to know what you can do and what you can't do. But as we grow and as we approach our fourth birthday, we still have the majority of the people who are serving on multiple Sunday experience teams. We still have people who are trying to juggle their schedule with children's ministry, with their schedule with greeting, with their schedule with worship, with their schedule with tech, with all these things that are layered on and done. And they're not complaining. And look, do you know that we have decided we have to have one staff meeting a month where we just deconflict all the schedules so we avoid 27 texts to people who are serving on three different teams? And that's okay. That's normal as a small church starting out. But as we get bigger, we want to move from where you're saying yes to what you can do and no to what you can't do, to where you're saying yes only to what you should be doing. Where we can go from doing and focusing on what needs done to doing and focusing on what we were created to do, where we're fulfilling, and where those people who volunteer are less and less doing all the things because there's nobody else to do them, and more working in the two ministries where they feel the most passion and the most calling. And by the way, this is no guilt. This is no lecture. Like, over 50% of our people are on Sunday experience teams. That's a huge percentage for the church. Like, most churches work in an 80-20. Yeah, you can applaud that. Scrapping and begging. We're not scrapping and begging, but we don't do church like... Jesus, forgive me. We bring God our best every Sunday, and we try to do that in all the areas that he's called us to do that in. And so as we grow, then you guys who aren't serving on a Sunday experience team get to step into one of these many areas, and in that, somebody else gets to walk more in their fulfilling and less in their doing as you figure out what it means to fulfill God's call on your life. What's your purpose? And you might try out a couple teams to figure that out. You might find we have people who don't serve on three teams because they have to. They love all three teams, and they just want us to deconflict their schedule, and we will do that because they love all three teams. But you got to start somewhere. Passage also says that its parts have equal concern for each other. And I want to go back to where in the intro I was talking to you guys, and I said, you know, fans, you come home, and the fans who you laugh with, cried with, cheered with, shouted with, jumped up and down with, good, bad, or indifferent, aren't there. Part of the beauty is being on a team is that that team is concerned for you. Over and over and over at Bridge Church, when visitors come, we hear how everybody's so friendly, and it feels like a family. Can I tell you that it is great that it feels like a family, but as you jump onto a team, it doesn't feel like a family anymore. It is a family, because there are 5 or 10 people that you work with throughout the month that you're connected to, that are checking in on you more, that you guys are sharing and doing life together, that there is purpose in what you're doing that unites you towards common goals, and all those things work together to mean that you no longer sit at home wishing you had somebody to talk to, but that you are on a team that is talking to each other throughout the week and throughout life and throughout experiences. I do want to say this. Sometimes, legacies are such a great example of this, sometimes we have to be on the injured reserve list. Sometimes you just get taken out. And that could be physical, and it could be emotional. It could be trauma. It could be illness. It could be any myriad of things. And there is a required season of being ministered to, being served, healing. When Gina's mom passed, there wasn't a question of whether she was going to lead worship for that month. No, she's going to sit in worship and be able to worship. When Rick needed to go be with his mom, there was no question of who was going to cover tech. Now, we actually were able to look at the schedule and go, hey, God, look at what he lined up. Rick's not on the schedule this week. But that's going to get covered because there's got to be a season of sitting and healing. And it's not a season of a holy timeout. It's a season of physical, emotional, and spiritual therapy where you are fully supported, where you are loved and cared for, where you are ministered to and checked on and served, because Jesus said, the least shall be greatest, and he washed the disciples' feet. And everybody needs a foot washing season sometimes. And that's good, and that's part of it. Okay, not everybody's into sports. So I just wanted to plug one more analogy in, and I was thinking about this and praying about it, and then I happened into Thursday night's prayer meeting, and that this analogy got affirmed a little bit. So I'm just going to say, if sports is not your thing and you're sitting here going, okay, jerseys are cute, but not me, I want you to think of it like this. You can go get on a cruise ship, but that is not the church. The church is a battleship. And on a cruise ship, you get served your meals, you get entertainment provided for you. Hopefully you don't hit bad weather. If you do, you want free Dramamine. Like, but on a battleship, Guthrie and Susan are away. Who else was in the Navy or is in the Navy? Navy folks, yeah, when you're on a battleship, when you're on a ship, whether it's a submarine or an aircraft carrier, everybody has a job to do. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody, there's a plan for them and what is needed from them. As a church, we do out there in the community great. We do serving great. I just told you guys how amazing you are at serving. We have over 90% of our people that participate in volunteering when it comes to our 5 or 6 outreach events we do in the community, letting the community know they're seen, known, and loved by God, letting them know that the church is not a bunch of hateful, mean people, but that Jesus actually loves them, and so do we. We do awesome at that. But if we look at the battleship concept, those are campaigns. We are going out to do something. We have to be healthy in how we operate day to day, week to week on a Sunday. We have to not have somebody serving on 6 different teams twice during the week and all 4 Sundays while some people aren't serving because they don't know where to plug in or because they are trying to get over a church hurt or they feel like they aren't seen or aren't valued. We all play this vital part. And as we do that day in and day out in our operations, week after week, as we are healthy, then the very battle that we have been called to as Christians, which, by the way, is not against humans, it's not against people, it's against an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, while we serve the one who has come to bring life and bring it in abundance. When we are all operating at peak performance, then when we go out and do those out-of-the-church things 5 or 6 times a year, then to God be the glory, it just keeps getting better and better and better. And people meet us and they experience the authenticity of the love of Christ and the energy and excitement because we get to be such part of such an awesome team. Whether you are currently on the injured reserve list and taking a much needed break to recover, or you are at the peak of your performance doing it all. Whether you are one of our quieter people who's back in the tech booth running the camera or doing online hosting, or you love hanging out with kids and you are up in Bridge Kids helping teach our kids that they're seen, known, and loved by God, or that God loves them no matter what, or that all the truth that they learn up there, or you're rocking babies and changing diapers because you're in with the littles. Hear me. Every position is vital. Everything represented on this board and the ministries and groups that will go up next week. Every position is vital, and we all need each other. The passage says, ooh, it's back there a ways. The passage says that there should be no division in the body, but the body should have equal concern for one another, that we can't say, I don't need you, and I don't need you. We all need each other. And our American mindset doesn't like to need anybody or anything that we can't do for ourselves. But this passage, God's living word, teaches us, you're not on your own. I need you and you need me. Gina needs Mary and Mary needs Gina. David, Alicia, Bing, we all need one another. And that'll be really pretty and beautiful in some moments, and it'll be really gnarly in other moments. But that's exactly why we need each other, because we get through it together. It's a lot. Like, I wish it wasn't copyrighted, because we live stream. I'd be playing like the Monday Night Football theme to get y'all all pumped up. Yeah, somebody's humming it over there. Yeah, let's do that. But it's a lot. What do we do with all of that? Paul closes with a simple statement. Now you, verse 27. Now you, which includes me. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. What is your part? What is your part? See the teams back here? The playbooks you were given as you walked in the door? If you think that your one or two Sundays a month of rocking babies or running a camera or greeting people or teaching kids that Jesus loves them wouldn't make a difference, I want to tell you, they make a huge difference. They make a huge difference. And they make a here and now and a then and there difference. And I think we got to keep sight of that. Because I think too often this passage is used to beat people up, and it's all about the here and now. We have people and they're working and they're tired and you're not serving, and so you need to serve because they're just too tired. Mm-mm. We're right back to the 10-year-old being forced to play soccer when he doesn't want to. That's not what it's about. But you do have a here and now impact, because when you serve and do walk in what you have been created to do, or what you are willing to do while you figure out what you were created to do, then we together are a healthier church. We together function better. We together carry one another. You aren't alone anymore, an island unto yourself, coming in on Sunday wishing you had a bigger connection but not knowing how to get it, because you are connected and serving with a team and on a team, and that is good for you, and it is good for the church, and it is good for the community. That's here and now. And it's good, it's abundant, and it's a blessing. But it also has a then and there, an eternal kingdom impact. Jesus calls us to serve one another. Kids come to Jesus. People in the community come to know that God isn't mad at them all the time and doesn't hate them, but Jesus actually died for them. We learn how to heal, how to have healthier marriages, how to have healthier friendships, how to have healthier relationships. And in that, people come to know the greater truths of who God is and how he actually wants to function in their lives, in relationship with them. And that is not just a here, now. That is a then, there. Jewels in your crown, kingdom impact. When other people walk through the doors or the gates of heaven because they encountered you as a healthy part of the body. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Bone, tendon, ligament, muscle, eyeball, doesn't matter, in its various forms. I'm going to leave you with one more verse as we close. Galatians 5:13-14. Paul's writing again, and he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. The bottom line today, church, is that we were not saved to spectate. We were saved to serve God and each other and others. Not saved to spectate, saved to serve.